going to read quite a few verses of Scripture. And everybody, this is a Sunday school story. I mean, from when you were a child, we're going to talk about Noah and that ark for a little bit, what he faced and some of the things he went through. Genesis chapter 8, it says this, "And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned off the earth continually. And after the end of 150 days, the waters abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month to the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And the 10th month, the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of the 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him that evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month of the 720th day of the month was the earth dried, and God spake unto Noah, saying," amen. I want to preach to you tonight for a little bit on a little leaf, but a lot of hope. A little leaf, but a lot of hope. I had multiple titles for this, but one my wife said was too long. I was going to preach on a long day on a large boat with a small leaf, but a lot of hope. She said that was a little long. And then I was going to maybe title it, "Waiting in a Crow's Nest for a Dove." But we're just going to preach on a little leaf with a lot of hope. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You and thank You for this privilege and opportunity, Holy Ghost, to gather in Your house, to listen to Your Word. Lord, we need that anointing of the Holy Ghost to visit us, to help us. Lord, that makes preaching easy. Father, we need You here tonight, Lord Jesus. We need You to anoint us and touch us. Lord, we don't do this by form of motion. This is a real experience. And this is the real Word of God, Lord, that we sit here and take counsel of You. And we ask You in the name of Jesus to have Your way in this service. Move in these altars, Holy Ghost. Let us see You move in a mighty way. Let us see You strengthen the body of Christ, dear Jesus. You're so faithful. You're so true, Lord. And we just ask You to have Your way in this service, to find that hope that we need in this service. In Jesus' name we do love You. Amen and amen. A little leaf with a lot of hope. When we look here at this place in the Bible in Genesis chapter 8, we know that the day of vengeance was over in the day of Noah at this time. All the killing was done. And Noah had heard the voice of God telling him some time past, in the chapter before, He told Noah, "Get your family, Noah, and get in that boat because the flood is coming." We know that Noah did exactly this. The hand of God shut that ark there. And we know that Noah, his family, these 8 people, they survived a global flood that really killed billions of people. You can read statistics and different ideas. Some believes at this time there was close anywhere between 5 and 8 billion people, kind of close to what we have nowadays, what many people believe, being that many people lived to 900 and something years old and had children all up through them ages. They believe even millions or billions, no doubt, were murdered or killed, not murdered, but killed underneath the wrath of God in this judgment. The wrath of God, Noah witnessed this. And we must understand, when we look in the Bible and understand the life of Noah when he is on this ark, we come to the conclusion, when you begin to study different ideas, people argue over, nothing to argue about, but Noah and his family was in this boat close to a year, if I'm not mistaken. I read that from multiple accounts of different people and try to add it up myself, but many believe, and I would agree, that Noah and his family was in this boat for a year, if not a little bit longer, a little bit shorter, give or take there. But we do understand here that it had to be maybe not discouraging. I mean, they did survive the flood, but we do understand when Noah got on that boat and they survived this, whatever amount of time they were on, they were up there for a while. I just want you to picture in your mind today of Noah and his family on this ark for that amount of time. I don't know about you, but when you're on an ark that long, and all you do is night after night, day after day, you see the same faces, you're eating the same food and all of that, there has to come a place in that time, and it's just the way I think you can preach it the way you want to. Maybe Noah at times question and wonder, Lord, how much longer are we going to be on this boat? I mean, I just picture that in my mind. No doubt he won't question in God, I don't believe, but being a human being, I know sometimes we look at people in the Bible, we want to make them, you know, like a special superhero or something, but these men had flesh just like you had. These men faced things just like you faced, and these people had temptations just like you had temptation. I want to talk to you, first point about tonight, is being alone on the deep. Noah was human too, and the sea had to be a very lonely place. If you can imagine drifting on a large ship for overnight, night after night, month after month, for a year close to it, with nothing in sight. They couldn't look out of a window. It didn't happen that one window there. They had to look out. Can you imagine? You've been on there, say, 2 months, and you poke your head out the window, and there you see water. And then you wake up the next morning, and you look out there, you see water. All Noah saw here, all he heard was the animals in the background. All he heard was his family. All he seen was water for this amount of time. Water, water, water. All Noah can see of water. The evening sun sinks down into the water. The clouds are reflected off the water. His boat is surrounded by water. Water to the north, water to the south, water to the east, water to the west. Water, water, water. And I don't know about you, maybe you like water more than me, but even when I get in a boat, I still like to see land somewhere. I still like to see either another boat or something else out there. So I know, look, if I had to, if some emergency come up, I could get off those things. But for 40 days it rained, and for months they had floated, for months they had eaten the same food, smelled the same smell, looked at the same faces, and maybe you have a little more personality than me, but after a certain point, you probably run out of things to say to each other. Imagine somehow we got blocked in the sanctuary for a year. Whew. You would see each other's good side, wouldn't you? Amen. Might witness maybe a bad side. Maybe we can just get locked up and have Pentecost. I don't know. It'd be wonderful with me. Amen. Whatever it was, I just have to think in my mind that Noah and his family, not doubt, I'm not putting these, I don't want you to get the wrong image. Amen. Noah was a righteous man. But look here, there had to be a point in time. Maybe he wondered in that human mind of his, is there any hope out there? He'd look out the window and see water. And then all of a sudden, one day, all of a sudden, they felt a big old thud. And all of a sudden, I can just picture maybe Noah looking over his wife and his wife looking at him. He's going to say, I'm going to go check that out. That sounds like good old dry ground. And I just picture old Noah, he climbing up to that window. He begins to look out. And old Miss Noah says up to him, honey, what do you see? And Noah hollers back down, water. I just picture that in my mind. I think about, even though they were on that mountain, they were stuck on that mountain, they were still surrounded by water. I want to ask you this question today. I want you to apply it to your life. Have you ever been there? When you felt abandoned, maybe forgotten in some sense, you looked around, all you could see is the waters of destruction. All you could see is the waters here and the water there. Problem here, problem there. Circumstance here, circumstance there. Family issues, sickness. I mean, sin in this world. The midst of all these different things. Look, you can poke your head out the church door tonight. You can look around and see water, water, water. You can witness a multitude of things. You can add them all up, and you may think to yourself, not that you're doubting God, but you may wonder yourself, Lord, is there any hope for this generation? Lord, is there any hope in this situation? But I want to comfort you today, because if you feel like you've been there with Noah, if you feel like you've been in a situation similar to this, tonight's your night. Because Genesis 8 provides a hope for you and I that we can look at this story, and even though we look at this and he was surrounded by water, I love Genesis 8 verse 1 because the Bible opens up and says this, there was judgment in all of this, but all of a sudden Genesis 8 and 1 says this, and God remembered Noah. Think about that. God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him on the ark. We must insert the fact of this. Of course, God had never actually forgotten Noah. But we look at this, and there's a big word they use in theology. I'm not going to give it a shot tonight. But when God will speak to us in human terms, and He'll kind of get on our level, and He'll say, God remembered him. Not that God had forgotten him, but He was reminding Noah here, I still remember you. We look here, and because look, like I said, you've been there. You've looked around. You've seen water, water, water. You felt a thud every now and then. You expected there to be victory. You expected there to be healing or deliverance or whatever form it was. But then you look out the water, you see water, water, water. But I want to encourage you tonight is this, that God has remembered you. When we look at this from Noah's point of view, this is a wonderful thought. Although Noah may have felt himself to be abandoned by God, or maybe just not understanding all that was going to happen, or what exactly was going to happen. But when the Bible says God remembered Noah, it was pretty much saying that God acted again. That God looked at Noah there. He didn't forget about him. But God began to move on Noah's behalf, and God began to move and situate this. And when you look at Genesis chapter 8, it's almost like depression just must flee at this chapter, because there's nothing like being aware that the God of heaven remembers you. There's nothing like saying that. Isn't it a good thing to know tonight that God knows our name, that God remembers us, that God sees us? There's never a time in your life, there's never nothing you face that God looks down and just says, I forgot all about them. But you can read time and circumstance throughout the Bible, even in the book of Genesis, you'll read something like this. And God remembered Abraham. And God remembered Rebecca or Rachel. I forget which one it was. Or God remembered this one. Or God remembered Joseph. Or God remembered this. God has always remembered His people, even when they are facing something. You can go to the book of Exodus. God remembers Israel. You can go throughout the Bible. God remembers. God remembers. The hope is not in this abstract reasoning to the effect that God is aware of all things. It is this fact that this, He is aware of you. It's one thing for me to say today, God's aware of everything. But it's another a comforting thing, but when I look at you and say, not only does God see everything, but God sees you. Amen. I mean, isn't that a good thing? He's universal yet personal. He's universal yet personal. God is God in the universe. God is God on the sun. God is God in the church next door, wherever it is. God is God in every situation. But God is your personal God. That is true, but it's not always helpful just to have it in mind. There's times we want to see God act on our behalf. There's times we just desire to see that. Yes, I wish all of us here never had to wrestle with a little bit of doubt or unbelief or the enemy attack our bodies or mind or families or any situation. I wish everything was perfect. That's going to come one day. Just hang on. But I will tell you this, God cares about you. And when God remembered Noah here, God began to move on Noah's behalf. Three ways I believe God moved on Noah's behalf. And I'm going to get to the preaching part in a little bit. But we understand first, the Bible says this, that He began to remove the water. Understand, this is the first way He remembered Noah. He began to remove the aftermath of that great judgment. There the water began to recede little by little. Every time Noah would see the water, it was a constant reminder that God had just judged the world. Every time Noah would look out that window, or his sons or his wife, you know, there's different debates when they opened the window, but I'm not here to argue about when they opened the window. I just know they were surrounded by water and they knew that. I know they knew that, but every time they heard the water hit the side of that boat, they were reminded of that day when God told them to get into the ark. They were reminded of that day that the caverns of the deep opened up and the water began to pour forth out of the world and out of the sky. And we understand at that time that when that water came, and some people say that maybe they could hear the screams of people. We don't know. That's just all speculation. But they did know this, that there was a world full of people, and now there wasn't but eight of them alive. And so every time they saw that water, they were reminded that God had just judged the world, just His wrath fell on the world. They were reminded of that every time they seen that water. Now I want you to notice this. Because sometimes God will give you hope in stages. All that water, and all of a sudden, thud, and the boat stops moving. And maybe just that little bit, just the boat coming to a complete stop, probably begin to cultivate hope in their hearts. Thinking to themselves, look, I don't know if the water's still out. I know the water's still out there, but at least we're not moving right now. You know, the water was higher than the mountains. And then the Bible says this, that the water receded enough that they could see the tops of the mountains. And I just bet that had to be extremely encouraging for Noah to look out of that top of that boat or wherever the window was. He looked out there when the day before he couldn't see nothing but water, and the next day he could see the top of a mountain. I bet they thought to themselves, look, this is wonderful. This means that this water's starting to go away. Even though there was still water, but things were getting better. I want you to understand this today. I want you to get this encouragement in your life. Even though sometimes we look for the divine and the instantaneous, and they do come, understand this. There's time God works in stages in your life. He may do it little by little. He may do it touch by touch. One day you may not be able to see nothing but the floods of destruction, but the next day you may be able to see mountaintops. And that ought to make you rejoice. Maybe last week you couldn't see through the trial, but maybe this Sunday you can. Maybe, look, you may be in the valley, but you can see the mountaintop from where you're standing. And we must understand this, church. Sometimes we get so caught up in the instantaneous. Yes, seek for that. Yes, God operates in that. But sometimes God works in stages. Sometimes in God's divine wisdom, He knows what's best for us. He knows how to work in our lives. And look, you can see me just like Noah. Maybe Noah looked at his sons and said, look, there's still water all around us, but we can see some mountaintops. It was better than it was yesterday. If we could get excited about the little things, you'd be surprised how much our joy could stay energetic or rejuvenized. If we could say, look, everything still may be watery. Everything still may look bad on some horizons. You could look at this world and say, look, this world looks very, very bad. But you could say, look, we had a good service last week. And there's a mountaintop for you. God has mountaintops He'll put in your view that'll give you enough encouragement to stay on the boat a little longer. We could do it. There's enough preaching here for a few nights or a whole revival. Jesus Christ is a type of that ark. And look, you got to stay on the boat. Some of us may not be where others are. There's three different levels. Some may be on the first, the second, or the third. But get on the boat no matter what level you're on.
Yes, hallelujah.
Think about this. Three different levels. You know, there's good, perfect. There's many things you could preach there. There's three different levels. Some spiritual maturity. You've got fathers, young men. You got babes. Some may be on the boat today. You may be on the first level, but hang on. Just stay on the boat. Whatever you do, stay on the ark. Stay in Christ. Whatever you do, stay on this boat. I mean, I don't have time to go through all of this, but the boat only had one window. That window was used for ventilation, all different things. There ain't but one Holy Ghost. And we all get to breathe from the same window. There's many things you could preach in typology here, but we do understand this, that when they could see these mountaintops, there was something that rejuvenated inside of them, and they thought to themselves, look, things are getting better. I want some of you to get that in your mind tonight. It may not be where you wanted to be yet, but things are getting better. The second thing we can observe here that's pretty amazing is this, how God encouraged Noah is this. There's something amazing when we look at the Bible here about that word wind in Genesis 1 and 8, when it says, in God remembered Noah and every little thing, every living thing, and all the cattle that was with them in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth. Now we look at that just word wind and we don't think much about it at face value. But that word wind there in the Bible is very unique when you study this word out. Who wrote the book of Genesis? Moses did. Who wrote Genesis 1 and 1 and the whole book of Genesis? He wrote Genesis chapter 1, chapter 8, the whole book, the Pentateuch, we know that. But we look at this, Moses wrote this, and I believe he knew what he was saying, because at the beginning of Genesis we are told when the world was void, without form, and God, all this, it says the Spirit, it moved on the face of the waters. It hovered. It brooded over the face of the waters. This word that's used there, when the Spirit moved on the face of the waters, is the word used in Genesis 8 and 1 that is translated wind, but rather than Spirit, it's telling us here that God sent a wind that began to make the water disappear. Now we can gather from this, as a result of the flood, the earth had returned to form, much like it described in Genesis 1. It was dark due to the storm clouds. It brought the rain. It was covered with water. There was no life except in the case for the tiny cargo inside the ark there. But then the Spirit of God, the divine wind, began to blow across the surface of the waters. The waters were separated from the dry land. The clouds began to dissipate. The sun appeared. Eventually grass, plants, trees, all of this came from God moving the waters, just like He did in Genesis chapter 1. Moses knew what he was writing here. That wind there is the same word used when God would walk in the cool of the day, the breath of the day, the cool. It is the word you can translate, you can study that word out in your own time. But we can come to this conclusion that when God begins to move on hopeless situations, things begin to live. We'll just break it down in North Carolina terms for you. There you go. And myself included. That look, when God begins to move on situations, things are going to live. It doesn't matter how dead it was, but when God breathes on it, when the wind comes from the Holy Ghost, when the wind comes from the things of God, you'll begin to see life again. No matter how dark it was, no matter if there's just 8 people in the ark and that's it, God can take those 8 people. He can do what He wants to do because He is God. So God encouraged them by beginning to move the waters and to let the wind blow. They continually begin to move the waters. But the second way, I want you to focus on this with me tonight. But the second way God remembered Noah was by giving him a sign through the sending out and the return of a dove. Noah wanted to see if the ground had become dry enough for the animals and the people to disembark. So he sent out birds to test the environment. We know here the story about Noah. The very first bird he sent out was a raven. Many of you know that. Now we must understand when it comes to sending out a raven, we must understand something about this bird. Many of you probably know this, but the raven was a scavenger bird. If there was any dead flesh, if there was anything floating on the water, that raven would find something to land there. It didn't mind landing on a dead animal or a dead carcass. The raven would sniff it out. They would find a place. So we understand this today, that when Noah sent that raven out, and it doesn't say if it came back or not, but we do understand this, that when Noah sent that raven out, it most likely found something dead to land on. It was a message and a witness that there was death out there. Hear me today, but the dove, which he sent out secondary, some believe maybe at the same time or secondary, the dove was a symbol of gentleness. Of course, later in the Old Testament, it was a symbolization of beauty. It was used also for sacrifice because it was clean and also it could be eaten. It was also viewed as a symbol of peace and joy. It would eat vegetation. It wouldn't land on nothing dead. So when Noah sent this bird out, it was saying this, he's looking for life. Understand this, that bird would go out there. If there was any life, he would come back with it, or he would not come back at all. He would land on a tree or something. So we look at this in the Bible, and we can gather a few things about this animal. Now look, there's a lot of ravens in the church. We don't need a message of death all the time. Preachers or teachers, whoever you are. Look, if all you can produce is a message of death, don't do this and don't do that, then something's wrong. We need somebody like the good old dove that brings back something that has some hope in it. Hear me. I've heard some people pray and it just, not here, but I've heard some people pray, all they can pray is the problem. But we need somebody that can pray the solution. It's not all about the problem. Look, there's a lot of ravens in the church. They can go ahead. They can say there's death here. There's death there. They can land on death everywhere. But my Lord, if we could have somebody like this dove. We know at first this dove came back. But get this in your mind today. This dove came back with nothing. I don't know about you, but can you just imagine this in your mind? Being like Noah. They're being discouraged to a certain extent. Yes, things are getting better. But you want to get off that boat. You want to get off that boat. You want to get on dry land. And all of a sudden, he sends that raven out. He sends that dove out. But I can just see that old weather-beaten sailor's face there as he puts his head through the hatch at the top of that window. The wind begins to blow through his hair. There, his skin's probably like leather from building that ark in that blazing sun and that heat of that day. Hear me today, but I just picture this as he sees that bird coming on the horizon. It starts off as a little speck. It gets closer. It gets closer. It gets closer. He finally reaches out. He takes that dove into himself and nothing. Hear me today. As many times you may come to church and you send the dove out and you don't see nothing. There's many times you had hope in something and it may come back to you and it has nothing in its hands. It's simply a testimony of this. I searched and I do not find nothing out there. But the Bible tells us that there Noah did 7 days later. Noah did it again. He sent that dove out again. And can you imagine again that weather-beaten sailor as he's looking out the window and that dove becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. He's thinking to himself, I wonder if there's any life out there. I wonder if there's anything out there at all. But the Bible tells us this, that all of a sudden, just one day when Noah was up there, he's He's looking there. Maybe his wife just called him to dinner. He's about to get down out of the crow nest, so to speak. But all of a sudden, at distance, he's able to see a small speck, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. He can tell it is that dove. But my Lord, this time there's something in that dove's mouth. There's a certain urgency in the way he's flapping his wings. He's found life, and he's coming back to the ark to let us know, look here, Noah, I found hope for you. I found hope for your family. Yes, the waters may have been there. Yes, you may have stuck in this lonely boat for a long time. Yes, you may have questioned if God has forgotten you. But God has remembered you, Noah. And here's this little olive leaf. Here's this little witness of life. I'm telling you, friends, we need some olive leaves in this church. And I don't care if you give it to your neighbor, but give somebody, or let God give it to you tonight, that there's life out there. Hey, Brother Ken, go get me a leaf. Now, at face value, if I'm going through the trial of my life and you give me this leaf, I'm going to say, are you serious? I'm preaching on a little leaf, but a lot of hope. And then just imagine, you're going through it. But that leaf to Noah, you don't understand what it meant to him. That little leaf, I just pictured in my mind. Not only was it a little leaf, but it was a freshly picked leaf. This was a little dry. And it's fine. But can you imagine that nice? I mean, nobody, can you imagine just that leaf just coming? All of a sudden you look and there that bird comes. It's a little leaf. It's there. It's more than a little bit of foliage. It's a promise. That bird there brought more than a piece of tree, but it brought hope. You know, just like that leaf meant that to Noah. It don't mean much to us, I guess. But just like a preacher, I'm up here. And just like we come to meetings and fellowships and prayer meetings and hear songs. You know, the whole song service, we're trying to pass out leaves. You would say, I didn't see it, Brother Derek, because you thought it was too small. It could be the second chorus of the first song. But that could be the leaf that you need for hope. Doesn't matter what it is or what facet it comes in. It's a little leaf, but it's a lot of hope. You said, isn't that what hope is? Say, just be honest with us today. Isn't that what really hope is? Hope is an olive leaf that is evidence of dry land after a flood that's in your life. It's flood that'll destroy and pull away. But we look at this, we must understand that these small leaves keep us going. Just like if a doctor goes to somebody that has cancer, it appears, and they say to the patient, it appears that the cancer is in remission. There's a leaf. They can take those small words with such a big sickness, and they can say, you know what, I think I'm going to make it another day. Or it could be something like this, don't worry, I can help you with that. A leaf, that promise that is given to us. Well, we'll get through this together. There's leaves that are given to us every single service. Hear me today. And that encouragement that comes right when we need it. Hear me, when we look at this, I want to ask you a question today. What do you think Noah did with that leaf? I don't believe he took that dove in. I don't believe he took that leaf and just, well, I'm going to put that leaf in my pocket. I don't see Noah catching that bird and looking at that leaf and saying, well, there ain't much to that. I believe myself. Now, I don't know if Noah, I mean, I guess he'd have been Pentecostal if he was New Testament. But I don't know, but I look at Noah, I just believe when he seen that leaf, he didn't put it in his pocket. He didn't try to just throw it off the boat. I believe he let out a big old, woo! I believe Noah said, honey, look, there's water all around us. But I've got a leaf. A freshly picked leaf. That dove can be a type of the Holy Ghost. Whatever you want to preach it or teach it. But hear me this today. I believe he let out a big old holler. I believe he ran and told his family. And he said, guess what? I've got a fresh picked leaf. There's life out there. Amen. Where's your leaf at tonight? You know what? You may have the only leaf on your job. You may have the only signs of life in your family. You may have the only signs of life in your neighborhood. Where's the leaf at in your life? Where's the signs of life? Where's the signs of hope? Where is that leaf at? Hear me today, friend. Because this is something. This is why we ask you to testify. Because you can share your leaf with somebody else. Amen. God may have done something for you. You can say, you know what? I had that leaf. I ain't going to put it in my pocket, but I'm going to tell everybody at church about that leaf. And there we could be just like Noah. There he is in a situation. I mean, it looks bad. It looks horrible. But here we come across this and we know that that leaf is just sparked. And all of us like fireworks in his heart. It set off all of this hope. I'm preaching to you today about a little leaf. But there's a lot of hope in that little leaf. And you know, you say, I'm here tonight, Brother Derek. I feel like I'm with Noah. I'm on a big boat. It's been a long, lonely journey. I need some hope. I'm telling you today, we have access to leap after leap in His Word, promise after promise. We have access to the things of God. There is hope.
Amen.
I read a story a while back about a submarine, USS S-4, USS 109. Was an S-class submarine of the United States Navy in 1927. And this submarine was sunk by being accidentally rammed by a Coast Guard destroyer out in the off the coast of Massachusetts, if I believe it was. And we looked at that story. It's very interesting. But there were six people on that submarine when it went down in that water. And all six of them were trapped. And they were trying to rescue them. But it looked like hope was very, very bleak there. They didn't know if anybody could get down to them. Heroic efforts were made to rescue the six known survivors trapped in the forward torpedo room. They worked their way up to the front of that there. And hear this today, friend, they had exchanged a series of signals with divers by tapping on the side of that submarine. Those divers would go down there, and you can read the story on your own. It's on Wikipedia, wherever you want to read it at. Google it. It's there. Them divers went down there. And as the trap men used the last available oxygen in the sub, they were able to communicate that to those on the outside through Morse code. And a diver placed his helmet, one of the divers on the outside of the submarine, a diver placed his helmet ear to the side of the vessel and received a Morse coded message that said this: "Is there any hope? Is there any hope?" That diver, read the story, not wanting to say anything back because he knew there was no hope for them six men. Put your ear to this world, my friend. There's multitudes on multitudes screaming at the church. We are the divers. We are the rescuers. We are the ones that are on a mission to save those that are trapped and bound. This world is, they're doing it in many different coded messages. They're doing it from the way that they act. They're doing it from the way that they're screaming out. Their life is screaming this: is there any hope for us? And look, we're not that diver tonight. We're not that diver because we can look back at them and say, look, friend, there's hope. I've got to leave. I know somebody. There is hope. You don't have to die in that. I want to tell you tonight, you could be in the trial of your life. You don't have to die there. You could be in the sickness of your life. You don't have to die there. There's eternal life in Jesus. We can look back at this world and we can say, yes, there is hope. There's hope. To all of the Noahs of the world, to all that searched for horizons for a speck of hope, Jesus proclaims, yes. And He comes as a dove into our services. He comes bearing fruit from a distant land, from our future home with a leaf of hope. I want to tell you tonight, do you have that hope? Or are you willing to receive that leaf tonight? No matter what it is, there's hope for you. There's hope. I just feel in my heart. There's a lot more preaching here. But as my wife comes to the piano, I just want to obey the Lord tonight. I want to obey the Lord tonight. Some are looking for it tonight. Some you can relate with Noah. It's been long days on a large boat. But I'm here tonight as a preacher. I'm a little dove telling you that I've got a little leaf with a lot of hope. It's been a long day on a large boat. But there's a little leaf with a lot of hope. There's life out there. Church, don't get discouraged. Look, there's many bad things that are happening. You can look overseas and a spirit of fear try to grip you instantly if you let it. You look at the political arena. You can look at many different. You can look at situations. Everybody has their own. You can look at these things and you can say, is there any hope? I've got a leaf here tonight. And I want to encourage you. I feel in my heart that dove is here. That dove is a type of the Holy Ghost. When Jesus was baptized, He came out of the water. And as the form of a dove, that Holy Ghost landed on Him. That Holy Ghost came in Acts chapter 2. A bunch of discouraged disciples. It had been long days for them. And they were on a big boat. But Acts chapter 2, the dove came. And He filled them up with hope. I'll preach it another time and another day. But those two men walking down the Emmaus Road, they had lost all hope. They were leaving Jerusalem. They were leaving Jerusalem. Jesus walks beside them. They don't even know it. But you know what Jesus tells them? Everything that happened was promised by the prophets. He sat down, had a good old meal with them, disappeared. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? Many people believe those two men that were leaving Jerusalem, that had no hope. Many believe they were in the upper room when the dove came. You know what happened? They received a leaf. And they seen, look, even though the Savior's been snatched from us, there's hope. That dove is here tonight. That dove is here. I want to encourage you with this last thought. And there's a few different points we could touch. I want to encourage you with this last thought tonight. You've got more than a leaf. But the Bible tells us, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give him to eat of the tree of life. There's more fruit and leaves on the tree of life than you could take in one service. Why do we wait until we're in the most desperate of situations before we go to the tree of life and receive the hope that we need? Why do people do that? Why does Christ end up being their last resort? And the third thing that God did to encourage is you stand to your feet. The third way that God remembered Noah was by His words. God said to Noah, He says this, and He spoke to him again, saying, come out of the ark. When you study the Bible, the last time Noah had heard God's voice was when God told him to get on the ark. But when they had been on that boat, God spoke to them and said, it's all right now, get off the boat. God spoke to them again. God broke the silence. Hear me today. I just feel this in my heart. I just want to be obedient to God. I'm telling you that I could preach, but I just feel in my heart. Some of you today, all you need is this. Quit waiting for fireworks. If you can't get excited about that one, Jesus Christ, that leaf you can live on the rest of your life. The Holy Ghost wants to just remind you tonight in this service, there's life out there. There's life. There's life for the church. It don't look situ. I know this. I'm your pastor now. I know who's sick. I know who's going through family situation. We know each other, and we're not here to condemn each other. Pray for me, because look, there's been times somebody came to me in this church and said something. I said, God, there's that leaf I'm looking for. There's that leaf. No matter what it is tonight, there's a little belief, but there's a lot of hope in these altars for you. If you wouldn't make your way to